would enlighten us while we're going through in your steps, Lord. Cover us and keep us. And thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, the nice thing about the discipleship class, the reason that we're studying out of scriptures is because in order to disciple others, you have to know the truth yourself. We don't want to be out there spreading lies and rumors talking about we're disciples. We want to spread the truth of God's holy scriptures and his holy testimony. So that's why we at this period, we're doing the testimony readings and we're doing the in his steps. But we kind of switch it up. Sometimes we'll have Bible training classes. Sometimes we'll have current event classes. So all of that to help make us well-rounded disciples. So again, feel free to invite anyone that you run into that would be interested in learning the truth of God's word. And then also read it for yourself so that you'll be prepared to share what God has shown you during your studies. Chapter 7, it says the nature of man. The nature of man. What exactly does the word nature mean in that sentence? The nature of man.
The way that men and women are. The way that human beings are.
Okay. The way human beings are. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? The nature of man. Okay. The way human beings are. That's very good. It says man and woman were made in the image of God. Now, we've read that in Genesis 1:26 that God said, let us make man in our image. What does that term mean? How are we made in the image of God?
At that time, we were made in the image of God because we were sinless. That was one thing. And then we were able to communicate with God and with the animals like God was able to do, like God did. And he created us. The way we look was made in the image of God. I believe that. Although mm-hmm. God can make some things we can't do because he can make himself be in different ways and different places and stuff. But Jesus will always be in our human image.
Okay.
He gave that up for us.
God is a spirit, right? Mm-hmm. So image of God, anyone else? What is your understanding of being made in the image of God?
Well, whenever I think about image, I think about a mirror. When I stand in front of a mirror, I see an image. I know who I am, and I'm standing here in this spot. But in that mirror, it looks just like me. So I see my image. It's not me, but I see my image. And so I think we always talk about when people said should be able to see God in us. Mm-hmm. So we should be carrying his image. We should be acting like him and we should look like him. And we talk about if you're going to make it into the kingdom, you have to have that image. When and I'm kind of going deep here, but when Christ stands up and gets out of the way, we need to look like him. Because right now, he is standing between us and the Father. And so when he stands out of the way, that image, we need to have that image, which we were once given or made in his image in the beginning. And of course, we get out of that. We need to return back to be in his image.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. And it's also characteristics of God. Says with individuality, we're all individuals, right? We're, you know, even though Lakita and I are married, we're not the same person. We're still individual people. Also with power and freedom to think and to do. So that's also part of the image of God, the power and freedom to think and to do. You know, there's a phrase that says think is not illegal yet. Uh-huh. You know, so God has given
not illegal yet.
Yeah, God has given us the power to think, use our brains, use our imagination, use our intellect, you know, and think of ways to do things better. Think of ways to avoid problems. Think of ways to reach your goals. You know, we all have a brain, but sometimes I think there's a a lot of people who refuse to use their brain when all they have to do is use it. You know, God has given us power to use our brains, but I think a lot of people are just kind of lazy in that area and they don't want to think. So those people end up just believing what someone else says or doing what someone else tells them to do, when God has given us individually the ability to think and to do as he leads us. So those are also parts of his character. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I there was something you said about you and Lakita.
We're married, but we're still individuals.
Right, but when you get married, you become as one. So it's almost like you should be the image of her and she should be the image of you. If I come and ask you all a question or ask her a question, she should be able to, of course she's individual, but you all have one purpose. If I'm trying to come in your house with something, you all both have the same idea about what you're going to live in your house or not. I think about that when me and Karen were on vacation, I think it was last year in Atlanta, and the grandson wanted to get out of the TSA line from her and get in the line with me. Well, I didn't even know that was going on until he called me, because I'm in a different line. Mm-hmm. And when he called and said, "Grandpa, can I come over there?" I didn't know he had even asked his grandmother, but I already knew we had the same mindset. Well, I already knew that. So I just told him, "Oh no, you can't come over here. There's too many people over here." So she calls and I already told him that. And I wanted him to know we have the same mindset, sir, regardless of which one you ask. She's the image of me and I'm the image of her. So you're not going to get a different answer. And so when I think about being the image of Christ, we should be giving answers that Christ would give. You talk about characteristics. And we always have heard years ago, they made up the little jewelry or stuff to say, "What would Jesus do?" So we are supposed to be an extension of him, you know, and you see something crazy going on with the Lord, run out and help. Is the Lord, are we supposed to help these people? What would Jesus do? We're supposed to be that type of person, that we would follow exactly what he would do, just as his father has sent him to do stuff. We're supposed to be just like him.
Yeah, but why weren't y'all in the same line anyway?
Because that's a long story. I dropped her off first and I went and took the car back. So I was in pre-check and she wasn't. So we were in two different lines, Alvina.
Okay.
Okay, all right.
There's a sneer in his voice when he said Alvina.
Alvina.
Yeah, that's a good point. that as married couples, you do start thinking the same way about your goals and your aspirations and how you handle situations at the home. That individuality comes in as to how you reach those common goals and aspirations. As individuals, you come together and you discuss and you talk about it, advantages and disadvantages, and then you choose, okay, we're going to do this for our family. And then that part of it becomes thinking as one. So it's very interesting how that works. And then it also talks about, though we're created free beings, each is an indivisible unit of body, mind, and spirit, dependent on God, upon God for life and breath and everything else. So even though we're individual persons, we're still dependent upon God for life, breath, and everything else that we have. Just to use that word indivisible, anybody heard that word used anywhere else?
In the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance.
What does it mean?
We're one nation under God, that we are not able to be divided in terms of our constitutional rights and stuff.
Okay, all right. Alvina, you want to add your patriotic lean?
Did I want to do what?
You want to add your patriotic comment to individual?
Oh, I was saying, when you said, if you have your own individual mind, why you can't think like individual, why you got to go along with certain cults that we see playing out? You know, it's just sad that they're thinking, well, they're not thinking for themselves. They're just going along with what a certain person says,
mm-hmm.
whether right or wrong.
We know what you're talking about.
And that's what we're saying about some people are too lazy to think for themselves.
Not maybe they're not too lazy. Maybe they just love what the certain person's saying. They agree with the hate, and they're like, "Well, I like that, so I don't need to think that's what I like, so let's go along with it."
There definitely needs to be more thinking going on in this world, as opposed to just believing everything that we see and hear. And that's one of the things too, why I always say, don't just get stuck only watching local news. Watch the worldwide news and use your brain to try and see what's going on here and there. And if there's any commonality, if there's any connection to the scriptures, if what's going on over there is going to impact us over here. Again, use your intellect and use your brain that God gave each one of us the power and freedom to think and to do. That's all part of being in his image. Then it talks about when our first parents disobeyed God, they denied their dependence upon him and fell from their high position under God. The image of God in them was marred and they became subject to death. Their descendants share this fallen nature and its consequences. Now listen to this part. They are born with weaknesses and tendencies to evil. What do y'all think about that? That as human beings, because of the fall of man in the garden, are born with weaknesses and tendencies to evil.
Yeah, because the perfection was marred. I'm thinking like I still think about before they sinned, they had a perfect mind, perfect setting. How are they messing up in that perfect garden and everything, you know, the perfect body, new body.
But when you think about Satan, he was in heaven with holy angels, with all the beauty and glory up there, the on going, never-ending musical concert they had going. And think about him, you know, he became like, I want to be like the one most high. You know, how dare they put Jesus there? Where that evil came from is interesting. No, but I think too, in order to be free will, you have to have that other side.
And it does say he was perfect until iniquity was found in him. So, yeah, that's true. Very true.
With God Himself, with Him every day, lived in heaven.
Now, what do you guys think about where we are born with weaknesses and tendencies to evil? You know, there's always a discussion about is evil or evil tendencies, is it genetic or is it hereditary?
Hereditary.
I think because our parents are you know, they have a sinful nature, our biological parents, because of Adam and Eve, you know, once they sin, that nature takes on each and every one of us. Even you can see it in little babies when they start, you know, to start walking and stuff. You know, parents have to correct them, and when they play, when they get older, and they always say the terrible threes. Children just take stuff. They just grab it if they want it. And they don't know that it's wrong, because until they're taught you don't do that, that nature is there to take what I want.
Okay. Anyone else born with weakness and tendencies to evil? Is evil or crime genetic or hereditary?
You know, in my class, it just happened just this week, and they were talking about trauma or whatever happens to you, and that it's coded, your experiences are coded, which I have always believed this, coded on your DNA. It is passed to your children on the replicated RNA. So that's a replicated DNA thing, strand. So what happened to you? You know, it's coded on your RNA strand. So here's an example. You get attacked by a dog, and you have this strong feeling and emotion about a dog. When your child is born, they're born with this RNA, and the child will exhibit fear of dogs. So then people back in the day used to say black people, not so much today, but back in the day was afraid of dogs, you know, even if they had no experience with dogs. You know, they can have their own dog, but other dogs they were afraid of. And they say that came from slavery because they would get the dogs after the slaves when they was running. You know, so I believe that Sister White says we're born with tendencies.
That's interesting. I think about my son when he was about 2 years old. He would see a spider walking around on the floor. He went to pick it up. He wanted to play with the thing. Now, if a fly comes after him, he's running into the walls trying to get away from it. And I'm like, well, how did you get to this point when you used to play with those little insects and stuff? So I think some of that is learned behavior. Kind of like Patsy was saying, being taught certain things, or you see certain things and you start to understand this is something scary. You're supposed to stay away from that. When before, if nobody told you, you liked it. You know?
I listened to my grandson talking about he likes tarantulas.
Okay. How old is he?
He's six.
Oh, okay.
He'll grow out of it. He'll grow out of
You
it. Don't worry.
want him to grow out of it. He gonna bring one home to you.
He got but he did get attacked by a wasp net, and so he's got a little thing going with flying insects right now.
And think about this too. They talk a lot about how if a person is on drugs and has a child, that the child has more tendencies to use those drugs, or even crack babies who come out and they are basically addicted to crack, that type of thing. So there is some genetic passing of evil or whatever you want to call it. And then there's also hereditary, where learned behavior comes in. My uncle, he liked to fight. Now I like to fight, or different things like that. Or if you're if your parent was an alcoholic, then that tendency comes down. But does that mean that you have to do these things?
No, you can break that generational curse to be broken in Jesus' name.
How are you going to do it?
Yeah, call on the name of
Generational curse of
Jesus.
blood.
Yeah, but you know, like the Bible says, the iniquity of the fathers, this is in the Ten Commandments, going down to the third and fourth generation, but God showing mercy upon thousands of them. But the answer to breaking generational curses or behavioral and communication patterns of or familial living patterns is through Christ. And that's why Sister White's stuff is really important, because she sets up the pattern. She tells you how to act in families. And people might feel like she's a little bit too much, but some people just have not had that had a good family experience, you know.
So
And
that's
you know, it's what's unfortunate too is when we talk about generation, things being passed down generation. And you know, it's amazing that my father's mother, her kidney disease passed to her daughter, which was my daddy's sister, and both of them died in Ireland. And then it didn't hit our generation till my mother and daddy had me, and now I have the same kidney disease that they had. But I said, there's nothing I could do about it since it was passed down when I was born. And I said, but I said, thanks to God, he shows me different ways that, you know, your diet, your exercise. And I'm not saying my grandmother and my auntie on my daddy's side didn't get, you know, didn't have a nice diet or whatever. But with this particular kidney disease, I mean, it's a battle every day, because I never know when all of a sudden, because my grandmother was had groceries in her hand, and it just boom, her kidneys were gone and she was gone. So I thank God that he does lead us, even if there's generational things. There are things that we can study, and I will say, I thank God for the Adventist message on the health message, because it teaches you how, you know, you can eat certain things and that will help increase your lifespan. So I think that's a good thing to know, that regardless, even if you're born with high blood pressure or whatever, there are things that God has left in his word that can help you overcome.
Amen. Excellent. Yeah, everyone saying the same thing pretty much, that even though we're born with weakness, that doesn't mean we have to fall to those tendencies to evil. And it says God in Christ reconciled the world to himself, and by his spirit He restores impenitent mortals the image of their maker. So everyone's correct that through Christ, we can do all things, right? Even though we might have genetic or hereditary tendencies or upbringing tendencies to do wrong, the Holy Spirit can bless us and lead us and guide us to doing that which is in the image of our maker, God. Created for the glory of God, we're called to love him and one another.
So,
and to care for the environment.
So Andre wanted me to tell this story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was watching a program one time, and it was about a researcher. He was a psychiatrist. He was researching. He did a study on serial killers. And I might have told this story before, but anyway, Andre told me to tell it now.
I don't remember it.
Okay. Anyway, he did a study on the brains of serial killers, and he found a common characteristic in the organic matter of their brains.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot exactly what it was or how that, you know, but it was actually, he could see it literally on brain scans, right? And so he could predict, you know, who had that characteristic, you know, who had the characteristic to be a serial killer.
Wow.
And so he said, but then he ran across one person that had that pattern, that characteristic in his brain, but he was not a serial killer. And he looked at the factors of why wasn't he a serial killer? And he looked at his upbringing and the fact that he was raised in a loving home with loving parents and a loving family. And that made all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the environment is what made the difference. Love really is what it was that made the mm-hmm. difference.
Amen.
And
mm-hmm.
that person that he studied that had the exact same structure in the brain was himself.
Mm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I was just going to ask, what about his own brain?
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that you led back to love makes a difference. That's what says we're called to love God and love one another.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, even as Christians, we love God and then we forget about loving one another. You know, but that's the first commandment and the second right there. And then also adds into care for the environment. How much care for the environment should we have?
Sure. A lot of care. We have to live in it. We don't care for it. It's not going to care for us.
Yeah, I think we definitely should care for the world. We should, you know, because I have read like the world is living, like a living entity and stuff. And I think we definitely should respect what God has created for us. It was for our pleasure and for us to enjoy and stuff. So,
and I think too, I agree, because I think nature talks, it actually speaks of God. Because if you look at nature, there's things in nature I will never understand. But I think it's wonderful, it's beautiful. And, you know, just even the seasons changing from season to season. I said, I love snow, but I don't want to be in it. I just want to look at it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, nature speaks of God, it's himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nature needs a break. It needs its own Sabbath.
Yeah, I guess nature needs a break for sure. You know, when we think about people overfishing, people with the pollution destroying the ozone layer, drilling in the Arctic and all these things that are going on, drilling out in the ocean, spilling oil everywhere,
mm-hmm.
you know, all this different pollution coming from chemicals, coming from factories, etc. Yeah, the earth does need a break, you know, and whenever you, if you have an opportunity, you see these documentaries that show, well, here's a part of the ocean that's basically untouched, And it's teeming with fish and wildlife and coral. And then they show an ocean that's close to where people have been, and it's all barren and destroyed. Yeah, humans, we really do need to look at how we're caring for our environment and not think that it's going to last forever. The scripture says that the Lord's going to destroy those who destroy the earth. So we do have to take care of our environment. But what can you personally do to care for the environment?
If you feed the birds and the trees, is that part of caring for the environment?
No, that's part of
Yes.
getting vermin in your house.
I know they can go get their own food, but I was trying to make it a little easier for
it
them so I could.
easy. God feed the birds.
Can somebody mute her?
No.
Well, I come from a state, Indiana, and my dad was really close with a lot of the farmers, and it was amazing to see when those farmers was tending to the ground when they wanted to plant corn and stuff like that. And they would always, and we never understood it until we got older. My father would be like, "Well, they got to let the ground rest this year," and we was like, "The ground rest?" And we never understood that, because that was funny to us to hear somebody say that the farmers have to let the ground rest. And so there was times when some of the farmers didn't plant certain things because they said, "I want to, the ground has to rest." And I thought, "Oh, this is the craziest thing, talking about a ground rest."
And thanks to a slave, they knew that.
Yeah. And also George Washington Carver, the people called on him because he was so good with plants and everything to figure out why their crops weren't growing and they were having problems keeping any crops in the field. And he said pretty much the same thing. You got to let this ground rest so it can replenish itself and at least rotate crops so that it's not taking the same nutrients constantly. And that's true. Just like the ground needs to rest, each one of us needs to rest too.
But then the Lord said that too. He said the seventh year they should let the ground rest.
So the information has been there all this time, but again, greedy man focused more on money than stretching the environment. And now you have a lot of people who are fighting against climate change, fighting against not drilling in the oceans or in the Arctic, different things that have been shown to destroy the planet. They have this method of drilling for oil called fracking, and it's causing earthquakes and different places. So yeah, it's part of our duty to take care of the planet. That's what God said in Eden to Adam and Eve. Hey, take care of this garden, So that would probably be a nice thing for us to do as a church outing. They have clean up the stream days, pick up litter on the side of road days. That would be a good way to help care for the environment, but especially care for your own property first of all, and then, look at how you can care in other ways as well. Any
You
other?
know, I just wondered if Northside still had where they had a garden. And I think at one time Lynette, she would put on the internet or on the send the email out who wants to help with the garden. And I, like I said, I just wonder if we still had our garden at Northside.
It was there last time I was there. It wasn't as big as when Brother Maupin was doing it.
Oh,
The
okay.
thing that I figured that I found out about gardens, they're a lot of work. If you have a garden, you're not just gonna be sitting in the house waiting to eat potatoes and carrots. You got to be out there pruning plants and taking care of the fertilization and getting rid of the bugs and watering it, and it's a lot of work. And people don't often realize it, but the reward is well worth it. If you have your own garden and grow your own food. Let's look up. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna just when COVID hit, when it shut the world down, like the land was starting to heal. The water would come, the air was becoming cleaner, the animals were coming out, because the people weren't out anymore. So that's what I want to mention.
Interesting. Now here it also said that like God, we have the power of choice. Is it important for us to have the power of choice, or is we can just, as Alvina said earlier, let other people decide things for us? How important is the power of choice?
The power of choice is what the great controversy is all about. It started in heaven with Satan. Was that's his accusation of the Lord, was that, you know, he was making those angels do what he wanted them to do, and they were forced to obey him. And that's what it's all about. And then he was kicked out to this earth, and he came down here with the same lie that, you know, you don't have to do what God tells you to do. He didn't say that directly to Eve. You don't have to really do that, because, you know, he don't know what he's talking about anyway and stuff. And so you can do it this way, and you don't have to listen to the Lord. So she exercised the right to choose, and she chose the wrong thing. And so now we have the right to choose. We are, it's never been taken from us. And God is so good that he gave us the right to choose. And when we choose the wrong thing, there's such a loving God that they put plan B in place, that Jesus would die for our sins so that we can live eternally, that we would still get what they intended for us to have all along, a stress-free life, praising him, enjoying the presence of holy angels, traveling to other worlds, learning, and talking to plants and animals. Then we lost all that. It was all given away so that we can all go to work every day and work like dogs and pay taxes, and then for them to threaten us every time we don't do what they want us to do. That's what we give it up for.
And you know, the power of choice also lets us know that we can't blame anybody. We have to make that choice. So we can't stand before a mighty God and say, oh, it's because so-and-so didn't tell me, or so-and-so didn't do this, so-and-so. No, you have the power of choice, and God gave us a mind to choose. So when this thing comes to an end, we each have to stand before God for ourselves, because it's an individual choice. We can't force anybody to feel our way, to do it our way. We are individuals, and I thank God that he made us individuals, that we all are different. But when we come together, we all know one thing. Whatever we choose, it's either we're going to choose God or we're not.
Yeah, that comes to what you said too, Patsy, is real important, because you cannot make people. Then we were saying that at the church with Karen and I, we was talking, and you can't force morality on people, you know. So people, like, they want to, you know, like, force their ideas about different things, you know, medical procedures and lifestyles. We cannot force people to choose to, you know, marry, have a heterosexual, monogamous heterosexual relationship. We can't make that happen, you know, and stuff. So even if you put it in law, you're not going to make that happen. You know, you just, what you're going to have is more people in prison. And it's more homosexuality in prison than anywhere, for real. Because you know, we're sexual beings, and what they call it, temporary homosexuality till they get out. So, you know, you can't force people. And so to be in a family, to have children, you can't force this thing on people, because God doesn't do that. That's not the spirit of God.
Yep, the God is pro-life and pro-choice.
He is pro-life and pro-choice, as a wise woman named Karen told me a few weeks ago.
Do you think we really have to worry about our power of choice being taken?
Yes, you have to.
If God gave us power of choice, why do we need to worry about it being taken away?
Because it was taken away from us before, and history has a way of repeating itself.
Well,
yeah, if you're not paying attention, it will. And Black people, of all people, you know, we've had hundreds of years around the world of Africans being enslaved. They had no choice, you know, and because God values the power of choice, and somebody's going to pay for sin. So Sister White says in the book, I can't think of the book, but I can look it up and get the information to you, that the slaves will be as if they were not. So they're not going to be punished for the sins they created, but someone has to pay for that sin. And so the masters are going to pay for the sins of the slaves, because they chose, whenever you put your big fat foot in the position of God, to take away the power of choice, which he gave them, then now you take upon yourself the responsibility for their sins.
But think about it
So
like this.
you
Think
mean
about
the slave not gonna that didn't know Jesus, they're not gonna be risen again just to be like burned
this.
up
Be as
because
if they never were, is what Sister White
okay,
said. But think
cool.
about it like this, because prophecy says that this country is going to go back into a period of slavery. Think about it. Who's going to be the ones that they want to enslave
It's
if
gonna
they...
be flipped around, they're gonna be slaves, but anyway.
No, think about it. And so think about if the slaves are not going to be resurrected, they're going to be as if they never were. Think about if this country went back into slavery and things, and so slaves are forced to do things that they that are against their will. Think about your own salvation. What happens to your salvation if you are placed back into slavery and you are forced to do things that you know are sin?
Well, no. You just die to self. You're like, I'm not doing it. Take me, take my life. I'm dying in Jesus. Not.
Right. It'll be different for us, Karen, because those slaves, they came here and they didn't know, like they just they had lost sight of it and didn't know. That's why God himself had to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt because they had to be retaught. They had lost the Sabbath. They had lost their worship of God and stuff. So he had to reestablish that with those people. And you see how hard it is that he had to have like what, four generations or two generations, before he can feel like the people were could go into, to the land, the promised land. So it's it, that stuff is hard to get out of people. But
And see,
really, if you know the right thing, that's what the time of trouble is all about. If you know the right thing to do and you make a decision, well, shoot, the Sabbath ain't that important. I'm gonna go on and cook on, I mean, not cook, but go buy me some food, or I'm just not gonna go to church. Well, the churches will probably be closed. I'm just gonna deny that I know God and I know he'll understand because Peter did, and but this is different because you're sealed to God or you're not sealed to God.
And the power of choice also brings into what God says. Those who want to save their lives, they're going to lose it. But though, but if you're willing to sacrifice your life for Christ in Christ's name, then he has a reward for you. And our power of choice is being taken is closer than we've ever seen. Because you have those, and this is a religious war that we're getting ready to come go into, where the government wants to tell people you don't, worship on the first day, or you don't do this and you don't do that. And I said, and you see it, just I mean, our religious liberties are being taken away constantly. And God says in these last days it's going to be a rapid change, and we can see it coming. And God is telling us, prepare.
And just like like Karen has set up where we can do this praying, I hope we just continue to pray about this situation because we were much closer than, like you said, Patsy, than we ever believed. They had that 2025, they had it, they thought they had it going on. Black folk jumping up saying, yeah, we're gonna go, and vote over here and stuff. But it's just the hand of God who's holding back the winds of the winds of evil. He's holding that back for us to do the work that he has planned, that he needs done. So we have a he's this to me, it was a warning. Y'all got a short time. And Sister White says the last movements will be rapid. They're not gonna be like, oh, I think they got lifted up the veil. Look, y'all, look where everybody's at, especially our black people. Look, and put it back down. So now, I think we'll get some time, some more time before this law thing goes. But I'm praying to be sealed. I hope that we're all praying to be sealed to the Lord.
I had a question too. Now we're talking about freedom of choice. So if we all have freedom of choice, why does the government make laws such as speed limits and can't talk on your cell phone or you can't jaywalk? And
Governance.
how is it that that's not taking our freedom of
Make
choice from us?
the right choice.
So I don't think you have the freedom. You shouldn't to endanger other people. You want to endanger yourself. That's one thing.
Yeah, and plus you do have the choice. If you want to go to jail for that stuff, then you go.
But those
If
are
you
not
want to pay a fine.
those are not moral choices, though.
Yes.
Those are things to keep order in a civilized society.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
Help Alvina stay within the boundaries of the law.
Okay, that's a good delineation. Moral.
The other thing that I wanted to your point, Lakita, is that you're assuming. Let me see. Let me go back to what I said about slavery coming back to this country.
Mm-hmm.
And Alvina said, "Well, I would choose to die rather than sin." But you're assuming that it would only that whatever it was would only apply to you, and you're assuming that they wouldn't say, "Well, I'm going to kill every single person in this whole arena if you don't do thus and such."
Mm-hmm.
So you're assuming
I'm saying, you better accept Jesus. I'm gone.
You understand what I'm saying? So the soul of everyone in that place might rest on your head.
Well, I'm telling you, especially, better accept Jesus. I'm up.
Especially your family members. When you think if your family members are saved or not saved, that's a hard thing. You know, you think, especially if you have grandchildren, because they're so young, and you know, it's not as it's easy.
Right, and so I don't think it's gonna. I don't think it's all. Everything is always gonna be so cut and dried as that.
I don't mean it's hard. You know, you even just now you have to make sure that you're, you know, you're following and every day being tested, so that we can stand up like that.
So you're gonna say yes to discomfort.
My point is, we all have to stay connected to the Lord and allow the Lord to help us make choices and make decisions, you know, and not just say yay or nay, or automatically depend on ourselves for our choices. The Lord might have us look out over a crowd and say, okay, well, there are certain people in this crowd that if I say no to this, everybody's going to die and those souls are going to be lost. But if I say yes to this particular time, I know that the Lord will forgive me, but possibly 50 more people will be saved if I say yes right now. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my point is, make the Holy Spirit our dependency.
We have to trust that God will.
But the Holy Spirit not going to go and get the word.
Well, I think we have to
trust. You're not going to say be a prostitute.
I think that we have to trust that God will
lead us in the right direction.
He's going to lead us in the right direction. And we may
Wait
a minute. But hold on. We may say, you know, you may say no, but at the same time, God can do anything. So you can say no. And these people think they have the power to hurt somebody. You know, they don't really have, people don't really have all the power they think. They can drop
dead
in a moment. You know, they can die. So.
Good point, especially about recognizing the need for the Holy Spirit's influence, because even though we have power of choice, we're still dependent on God. He allows us to live and move and have our being. We're dependent upon him for everything. And as Christians, especially, we want to invoke the Holy Spirit's presence in any decisions that we're about to make, so that just like the Hebrew boys, they made their decision, you know, based on how the Holy Spirit led them, said a lot of other folks that we read about in the scriptures. And some of us ourselves, we have made decisions only because the Holy Spirit led us to make them. We might not have made them for ourselves. We might not have made them for others, but as the Holy Spirit leads us.
Right. And what if
he leads us to do is going to be the best.
Right. Situation. Absolutely. What if when you actually consulted the Holy Spirit, because your own reaction, your own initial reaction would have been to say an immediate no. And the Holy Spirit said, wait for 3 minutes and then say no.
Oh, you know what I mean? That's different.
So I'm just saying, always make the Holy Spirit your guide.
Got you.
Yeah, which is what
my reflex is like, nah, I ain't doing that. I don't care. But
yeah, we always say that in class, we have to have a relationship with God so that he can lead us in those type of times, because as was mentioned, there aren't always black and white situations.
Right.
I recall years ago, people would always ask, you know, other church members, hey, if somebody was trying to kill this person and they ran into your house and they said, is the person in there, would you tell them or not? Well, you can think back to Rahab and the Hebrew spy. You know, she knew they were there, but she chose not to let on. You know, in various situations in the scriptures, whether what you might think is the right answer, God has bigger plans than what you think. So again, let's just stay in tune with his spirit so that if we do get in that situation, we first say, Lord, help me, Lord, lead me, Lord, guide me, before we just jump out with an answer.
Right.
Yeah, but it's still, he don't want it to lie, though. But like, yeah, they right here. Just don't kill them.
You said what, Avina?
He still is not going to want it to lie, but to lie to save a person's life, a lie is still wrong.
Alvina, a lot of times, from what I'm hearing you say, and you let me know if I'm wrong, you seem to be reacting immediately. And what I hear them saying is maybe we should wait because the Holy Spirit could lead us a different way. If we just simply take some time and wait, we might not have that same answer.
Don't lean on my own understanding, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Well, hold on. I got a question, and I don't want to. I agree. I feel and believe what you're saying, but I also know, especially in a time of trouble, we're going to probably just have to stand up. But I also know that I tried, this is something that's really different to understand for me, is how Rahab just openly lied. No, I don't have nobody up in here. They saw the people go in there. They didn't come out. They searched the house. She had even hid the people under her flax seeds because she was such a good businesswoman as a woman of the night. But anyway, so she had even hid them up there. In my mind, I'm thinking about her. She did what she knew to do, right? She was used to dealing with lying and manipulating and, you know, because that's how she survived. So she did her absolute, what was would be her best. May not be your best, Alvina, but it was definitely her best. And so she did, and she knew it was an act of faith on her because she put her life on the line with that. They had found those men. Maybe she would have been killed too. So she put her life on the line for the Lord, and she believed in God. She already had, to me, there must have been some type of relationship because she said, when y'all come back, then save me and my family. And to show faith, she had that red cord out there. Her family was gathered in there, probably eating and praying or doing whatever they were doing in her apartment or mansion, whichever one she was living in. But, you know, each person is different. The Bible says, the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. You know, so we think we know God. And we think that this is what but it's not always that way.
Yeah, if you recall, the Pharisees tried to tell Jesus that he was wrong in what he was doing. And they said, hey, how come you healing people on the Sabbath? That ain't right. And then they said about his disciples, your disciples picking corn on the Sabbath, that ain't right. You know, they had all these ways that they thought was the right way to go. But Jesus pointed out to them that you guys are straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel, and you're forgetting the more important things of mercy and justice. So we want to also always remember that God's character is that he's long-suffering and merciful, not willing that any should perish. And whatever situation we get in, God has made a way for us. He's made a way for us, and we can't expect that we know God's mind because we read the Bible. That's not all to God. He's given us enough to be saved, but that's not everything about him written in the Bible. So again, stay in tune with his Holy Spirit. That's always the best way to go. We talked about the nature of man, made in God's image, indivisible, unity of body, mind, and spirit, still dependent upon God for life, breath, and everything else, but with free will. And even though we have weakness and tendency to evil, God does not reject us because he sees what we can become through his grace. And that's what we need to pray for, that God's grace will cover us, that God's grace will mold us and make us back into the true nature and image of God as he planned us. Any final thoughts? Okay, if not, Karen, where would we be at next week in our studies?
Well, next week we're in Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, and we're going to take up Chapter 115.
Volume 1, Chapter 115.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Again, thanks everyone for joining and participating, and invite others to join us too. We all need to learn more about Jesus each and every day. And this is just one of the ways to do so. So we appreciate everyone's input. Let us close out with a word of prayer. Patsy, if you would close us out with prayer.
Yes, sir. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for bringing us together on this prayer line, even this class, to be able to learn more about you through the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. Lord, we thank you that we have learned and that we can share with others. Lord, you've only asked us to go out and plant the little mustard seed and that you will water and grow it. Lord, let each and every one of us, as we learn, share with someone. And Lord, help us to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us. Let him talk through us, tell us what to say, when to say, and how to say it. Lord, let us show the love of you through us as we witness to others. Forgive us of our sins, our iniquities, and our transgression, that we will have a clean heart and mind to be a very good witness on this earth until you soon to come. And Lord, we hold on to your promises. Soon and very soon, you made a promise that where you are, you will come and get us because you prepared a place for us. And Lord, we all want to be saved in your heavenly kingdom with our family, our community, and our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy the rest of the Sabbath.
Amen.